Good morning. Welcome to Your Health. I'm Ann Goldine. And if you've ever wondered about lasers, today is the day to get some answers. Therapeutic lasers were first theorized by Albert Einstein in 1916. And throughout the time of working on atom bombs and other things, physicists in the United States and elsewhere in the world were developing different kinds of lasers. And in the late 50s and 60s, the first therapeutic lasers were developed. It was noticed that they might have a healing effect. And today we have lasers of every size and purpose, therapeutic and industrial. And we're going to talk about the therapeutic ones and what laser actually is. My guest is Dr. Barry Sears. He's a chiropractic physician, also my partner. And good morning.
Hi.
Okay, so I didn't know this till last night, that LASER is actually an acronym. So what is it?
Well, LASER is an acronym that stands for a light amplification by stimulated emission of radiation. A fancy name.
Whoa. Okay. Yeah.
And so what it does is you take a semiconductor where you expose some, you put some energy into the semiconductor, and it takes a photon of energy and excites that photon. That photon then excites another photon, then another and another and another inside a medium of different types, and then it produces this energy effect where all of the photons have the same frequency. You can then take that energy and release it or emit it and do a variety of things with it.
Okay, so
An interesting thing, there's actually a side light. They were going to call it light oscillation by stimulated emission of radar, but they didn't want to use the acronym LOSER.
So that's how we have laser rather than loser.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have all these photons that are excited at the same level. How does that compare with a light bulb?
Well, when you take regular white light contains all of the light spectrum. And it's also, the lights has different frequencies that are all mixed together.
So it's all splattered. Like if you shine a light bulb on the wall, it's all over the place.
If you take a flashlight, shine it on the wall, you see a white blotch, but it kind of gets bigger. And the farther you move away from the wall, the larger that gets. When you take a laser light energy, you can direct it and it becomes very focused. Like the red pointer lighters they have for lecturing or the green ones for astronomy, you point them and they shoot through.
It's a point. Yeah, it's very small.
Because it's very focused and the energy is very high compared to, let's say, a light bulb.
Okay, so let's talk about the spectrum of electromagnetic energy, because this is in that. It's kind of a little, this is physics.
Well, the laser that is being used therapeutically is within a very particular wavelength. So you have wavelengths all the way from radio waves, which can be miles long, to gamma rays, which are extremely high-frequency radiations. And we're talking about the radiations between, let's say, 400 nanometers and 900 nanometers. And that takes us from the ultraviolet region to the infrared region and visible light, which is right in the middle.
And now we're talking about a nanometer is a...
It's 1/1000000th of a meter.
That's with a B.
Yes.
Okay. And a meter is like less than 3 feet?
It's a little over 3 feet.
Over 3 feet. Okay. So a billionth of that. So it's really, we're talking teeny weeny.
You're talking about a relatively high energy, but it's a safe energy. We're not talking about X-rays or gamma radiation, which is very damaging. And we're really not talking about ultraviolet radiation, which also can have a burning effect. We're really talking about this purpose is mostly in the infrared. It's an invisible part of the spectrum on the larger wavelength side of red light.
Okay.
And you have the typical ones you see as, you know, you have the red laser pointers, that's visible light. We're really mostly talking about therapeutic outside of the visible realm.
Okay, so you don't see the wave.
Nope.
Okay, and So what does it do when you apply it?
Well, what they discovered quite some time ago experimentally is if you apply it to living tissues, you get a biostimulation. The tissues are excited with this energy, and it produces a variety of physiological effects. So a lot of what you're trying to find is what are you trying to accomplish with it? You have lasers that even very powerful lasers that can do surgery, where they're having a much more high energy beam, which can cauterize or burn or cut material. If you take a lower energy form, then you can apply that safely to living tissue and get a stimulating effect.
Okay, so one of the applications of laser, this is in industrial application, is etching wood, and then also cutting steel.
You can cut steel. Yeah.
So then they're just bigger waves?
No, just more energy. It's really how much, if you take a semiconductor and you expose it, certain kinds of conductors, expose them to a very high energy form, they can emit a very high energy beam. If you applied that to the wrong tissue, you'd cause severe tissue damage.
Okay, now we were looking at...
And you're trying to do very specific one in a range where it's a safe energy that you're applying.
Okay, we were looking at pictures of what the diodes and what the semiconductors look like, and they are...
They're little tiny chips, like in a computer chip,
they
but very small.
They had a picture of the end of a needle, a sewing needle, mm-hmm. the eye of the needle, which looked big in the picture, and this thing looked like this teeny little square. They're talking about something, maybe it takes costs a lot to produce it, but it's
a fraction of an inch in size.
Right, and somehow that's able to do this amazing thing.
Well, you tend to take it, you take the energy and you excite the molecules with this stuff, and if you keep putting energy into the diode, it produces more and more excitement until you can actually get a thing you can release.
Okay, tell me about the ruby. The ruby makes a red laser.
Well, one of the first lasers invented is a person was experimenting with taking a ruby crystal and exposing it to light energy. And that was the first red lasers that they make. And that's still very commonly used because you see them all the time in the laser pointers. That's a ruby, a synthetic ruby, but it's a ruby crystal laser. Then there's a variety of other ones. There's CO2 lasers that are used for surgery, which are very different than the therapeutic lasers used to try to get a positive therapeutic effect.
Do you know what's in the green laser?
No, I don't know what material they're using for the green laser.
That is a total mind blower to be able to point a green laser up in the sky and actually point to a distant star.
Yeah, it's amazing. Again, that particular one is somewhat dangerous. It's dangerous to take something like that and point it in someone's eye. There was an example someplace where an officer sued some kid who shined it on his eye and caused retinal damage.
Permanent damage,
so
right.
So you do have to be careful with these.
Okay, so let's see. Where should we go?
So biostimulation, there's a variety of things that they found. Some of them are really quite interesting. It can do such things as help with bone regeneration, help with wound repair, help with actually producing the stimulation that produces NADP and hence more ATP energy within the cells. And it also enhances transmission of materials across membranes. So that's really a biological effect you're trying to get when you use these things therapeutically. And there's a lot of studies indicating some positive results using these kinds of therapies.
So some things that people might have heard that are kind of along these same lines and just what different ways of saying it is that therapeutic lasers can increase ATP production, which is the energy
that
molecules
runs cells.
That run our cells. So and then accelerate healing by having more ATP and reduce inflammation. And, we know that the majority of what gives you an owie is inflammation. So anything that improves or reduces inflammation is going to be therapeutic.
Well, the easiest thing to think of is traumatic injuries of various types. Like, let's pick a sports injury where somebody twists an ankle. You twist the ankle, the fibers get stretched beyond their normal capacity. They rip, and then in the tear sites, you have fluid infiltrate that tear site, causing it to swell up. That swelling causes pressure pain, tenderness, and you go, ow, and you touch it, it hurts. So when you apply a variety of forces to that, you can get a change in that tissue by stimulating the effects in the tissue itself.
Mm-hmm.
So in the case of ice is a perfect example, it shrinks swelling. Heat causes things to stretch out more. Lasers happen to do it in a very particular way, which is the stimulation of cellular tissues and allowing, you can change the kind of laser you're using to get sort of this clearing out effect, trying mm-hmm. to clear out the site of the injury. So tendonitis, arthritis, bursitis, these injuries with inflammation, you're trying to have a healing effect by applying certain types of lasers to this tissue.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Let's take a break. You are listening to Your Health. I'm Ann Goldin, and I'm with Barry Sears. All right, you've had your Tibetan monk chants for today. You are listening to Your Health. I'm Ann Goldin, and I'm here with Dr. Barry Sears, and we're talking about therapeutic lasers. So let's talk about some applications.
Well, one of the most dramatic applications in the literature is different kinds of wound repair. And we're talking about a laser that has a very specific, it's low-level laser, also known as cold laser. It's a kind of laser that doesn't have thermal energy. There's no heat produced by it. It actually has this photons of energy that have this excitation without producing heat. And one of the most fascinating ones they were doing is these different kinds of non-healing wound repair of open wounds and ulcers and exposing those tissues to different kinds of lasers, some of them actually being an ultraviolet kind of laser because ultraviolet has an antiseptic effect as well. So shining low-level laser light on these tissues tends to accelerate their healing response versus not doing anything or applying a different other kinds of modalities. You had a very interesting one about an injured athlete who was an ice skater.
Short track ice skater at the Olympic trials in 2009 impaled his thigh with his skate from his other leg in a crash and had this gaping, enormous, about a 12-inch wound in his thigh. And after about 3 weeks, he came to the U.S. Olympic treatment center in Colorado, and they used they have an integrated bunch of clinics there, and one of the part of the treatment was and it was open because it was just a sheer cut. And they really felt that they couldn't stitch it up. So he had this huge, and I saw a photograph of it. It is this huge, open, like a bowl. And one part of the treatment was low-level laser. And this guy, this was in October were the trials, the beginning of October. In February, he competed and got 2 bronze medals. So he healed up. I spent the weekend at a 3-day symposium at Western States, University of Western States, and Dr. Moreau, who is the executive director of the U.S. Olympic Committee's clinics, was there talking about this, and he showed pictures and talked about the care of athletes in this great integrated setting where they can have anything they want, and they use whatever's the most effective. And it was pretty cool. They had the guy within a short period of time doing slides. Those slides, he'd slide back and forth on those sliders for, you know, an hour. With this big wound, and he went from September to February, winning in the Olympics, where they sent him to the clinic to see if he was off the team, and so he went from that, and that was pretty exciting.
One of the studies in terms of using an FDA-approved part of lasers was doing carpal tunnel studies, and treating carpal tunnel injuries, and the particular literature we're looking at talked about having up to an 80% success rate using low-level laser for therapy on the carpal tunnel syndrome, which is an entrapment of a median nerve in the wrist. Pain, swelling, tenderness, numbness, tingling, things of that effect.
It's an overuse problem, and most of the time it's either industrial, like plumbers, electricians, or keyboard people.
Or people using a mouse too much.
Well, right, right. I found a study from Turkey Department of Physical Medicine and Rehab, who did a study with for carpal tunnel, and they had people divided into three groups. They splinting plus ultrasound, and splinting plus low-level laser. And 3 months after, they had 100 hands, 50 women with bilateral carpal tunnel, and the most effective of the three groups was the splinting and the laser. Now, of course, they didn't try no splinting and laser. You know, the splinting was across all three groups. But the group with the low-level laser did the best of the three. So, yeah, carpal tunnel looks like laser would have a good application for.
Well, one of the things in terms of talking about laser's application, there's this whole concept that's called photobiology. And this is actually taking photons of energy and exposing them to living tissues and producing this stimulating effect. And I'll go through again the list of the kinds of effects it has. One of the things it does, it increases the cellular energy by bombarding the tissue with photons of light. It improves cell membrane polarity, which is how the inside and outside of a cell polarizes to allow for materials to cross the membrane. It increases the biological immune response, which is something, again, in terms of wound repair, you would want to stimulate. It stimulates healing of tissue by accelerating its knitting together. It increases blood circulation. So one of the things, while it's not a thermal effect, it can warm up an area by bringing more blood into the area by increasing the circulation. Also, that tends to help try to flush materials that are in the injury site back into the circulation to clear out the area of injury. And it can produce reduction in pain, which is a symptomatic effect.
And that could be instantly.
Mm-hmm. And as well as relaxing the muscles at the injury site, depending on where it's hurt.
Okay, now, how about contraindications? There are a couple of contraindications, but there's some cool indications that are unique to laser.
Well, the biggest thing would be tumors. You know, you're really not trying to apply it to a tissue that's already highly metabolic. So if you had cancer or precancerous lesions, you're not going to really want to apply energy to that because you might cause it to accelerate and cause more damage.
Right.
Another contraindication is you certainly don't want to shine this on anybody's retinas, because if you get direct exposure for very long, it can destroy the cell tissue. And you wouldn't want to apply it to anything near a cardiac pacemaker, because if you have a pacemaker, it could disrupt that. So you do want to be very careful with using these things. It's inherently a very safe material, a very, very safe therapy device, again, because it's relatively low energy compared to other kinds of, like, for example, we often use ultrasound. If you take continuous ultrasound and apply it to an area, you can cause it to really heat up very quickly and produce a lot of discomfort. You'll never have that happen with the low-level laser. It won't produce a real strong reaction.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the cool things, an indication where you can use laser, where you can't use a lot of other therapies, is where you have metal implants like rods or screws, plates from a surgical repair. We've been really limited until having lasers.
It would have no effect on metal whatsoever.
Can't put ultrasound on it because right. It'll get too hot and you can burn the person from the inside out.
But it's not a strong enough energy form to even affect metal whatsoever. It's too low of an energy to produce any effects in that material.
So people who have pain from surgical repairs can benefit from having laser.
A lot of people are wearing metal inside themselves, you know, with bolts, nuts, screws, wires.
Mm-hmm. And this is something that can help that.
In terms of lasers, there's also different types of lasers that have different effects. The ones that are most commonly used is the one called a gallium arsenide laser. And the gallium arsenide laser also has a particular characteristic. It has a 904 nanometers wavelength, which is an infrared laser that's invisible. They also take this laser form and do what they call a pulsing as opposed to a continuous output. If it's just continuously on, you keep bombarding the tissue with just this constant stream of photons. With this particular one, it's a higher energy laser that's pulsed, or even called super pulsing, where it's on and off very rapidly to produce effect where you're not going to build up too much energy. And also unique to that laser, it's the deepest penetrating of lasers that can travel from 30 to 50 millimeters inside of the tissue, which is 1 to 2 inches deep. and have this biological effect deep inside.
And what about that sweeping where it also has a shallow penetration and then a deeper and then a shallow and a deeper?
Well, this particular one, this gallium arsenide, has you can change the modulation of the energy so it will have a deep, shallow, a superficial, medium, and deep. And it pulses back and forth to these different depth levels to try to actually produce some movement in the tissues.
So we're as opposed about, like, to just moving fluids.
Moving materials. I mean, you know, every injury is going to have to go through what's this tissue turnover. Mm-hmm. You need to get out with the bad stuff, in with the good. Mm-hmm. So you're trying to get this sort of a way to accelerate that process by using these effects.
Good, good. Okay, I've got a couple of more studies. Let's see. A study done in Greece was a double-blind, randomized, placebo-controlled study of people with plantar fasciitis and using low-level laser. And they had the people that had the laser as their treatment, as opposed to the other treatments, had the best improvement in their foot pain and their disability. That was a pretty simple study. And then there was another study done in Serbia looking at low-level laser and the treatment of acute low back pain. There's something that's pretty a rampant problem. And they, after five treatments, they analyzed them and found that... I'm trying to look at what were the different parameters? Okay, there was one group treated with lasers and the other group was treated with electrical stimulation, interferential current, and some electrophoresis with Novocaine. So they were using electrical stim and driving Novocaine in. And they had, the people that had the laser had much less muscle spasm and had much less pain. 92% of the spasms had... the spasm had disappeared in 92% of the patients in the laser group and 20% in the control group. So it wasn't that the other group had no help, but they had a lot less pain in the laser group.
Now we're talking about how often would a person do something like this? The treatment protocols for using lasers from 2 to 3 times a week for a period of 2 to 4 weeks to get the maximum effect. Mm-hmm. You're not going to basically go through one treatment and be cured. It would be using it repeatedly to try to get a healing response.
Mm-hmm. You're talking about for an acute problem. It might take longer if you had an old problem.
If it's a chronic problem, a longer duration.
Although we have seen, we had the guy with all the screws and plates in his hand who mm-hmm. had a big repair from an accident. In 5 minutes of laser, he had no pain in his hand for the first time since he heard it.
Now, there's a very good book, kind of everything you'd ever want to know about laser, put out by Prima Books, and it's called The Laser Therapy Handbook, produced in 2007 by two researchers in Sweden. One was a dentist, the other was a physicist. And it's a compilation of pretty much all the literature and all the effects and how lasers work, the different kinds of lasers that are out there. And they range from everybody from veterinarians using it on treating animals. One of the very interesting success rates was treating a foreleg tendonitis that used to be something they would shoot to horses because they couldn't heal them. By using gallium arsenide lasers, they're actually getting these kinds of tendonitises to repair themselves in a veterinarian setting.
And that was actually before it was being used in the same application in people.
Mm-hmm. It's used much more in Europe than here, but
they're ahead of us in everything.
Seemingly, some of the biggest development was actually in Russia of using some of these laser forms, and they were trying to find an inexpensive way to treat people because they have to treat a lot of people for free.
Oh, that's a good point. So lasers maybe have a place in the new healthcare yeah. model. Okay, there. Last month in the Journal of Manipulative and Physiological Therapies, there was a published study. And what's weird is this study was in South Africa. The work was actually done in South Africa. And it was looking at treating cervical spine joint dysfunction problems. And what they did in this study was they had people in three groups. They got adjustments of their neck, they got adjust.
You're talking about spinal manipulation, chiropractic manipulation.
Yeah, these were chiropractors, and wait, they had one group that just had manipulation, one group just had low level laser, and one group had both manipulation and laser. And guess, the group that had both laser and manipulation did the best by far of the three groups, and it's cool. I mean, and it isn't that there's a bad treatment, but there might be a better combination of treatments.
Something to watch out for that's showing up even in our state right now is people running full-page ads trying to have you come in and get laser therapy that seemingly can cure everything under the sun, from hair loss to ingrown toenails. and one of the awkward parts about these particular guys is they want you to pay like $3,000 up front, which is, you know, kind of a huge investment. And one should be careful of what you're offered.
Right. And I think the other thing is they're pretty much offering a cure. And they have these success rates. We have 100% success rate, or we have a 90% success rate. Pretty much nothing in healthcare has over an 80% success rate in anything. And lots of things, of course, have 0% success rate. But anybody promising any kind of success rate is to be suspect. And anybody that wants you to put down a bunch of money,
Mostly upfront money
before you've even experienced it, I would run for the door.
Kind of suspicious. Well, an interesting part of using lasers is really developed a lot of use in the sports injury area, treating professional athletes. Pretty much every professional team uses laser therapy on their athletes. And again, the reason why you're using this stuff is to not produce any kind of instant cure, but you can accelerate the healing response and reduce the recovery time. So that's really, with any kind of therapy, ultimately that's what you're trying to do. If it's hurt real bad, it's not going to respond as quickly. If it's not hurt so bad, you know, it's kind of the old adage, you're going to get better in proportion to how severely you're injured. So a bad injury can take a long time. A lesser one would have a quicker response.
Right. Well, one of the things that we always look to in what's happening in how people get better in the realm of injuries is looking to professionals and the Olympic clinics. Whatever they're doing is the current most effective thing available.
Because they could be doing anything.
Right. They have the unlimited resources to do anything. And so, you know, when Carl Lewis hurt his hamstring and was going to be out of the Olympics right before the Olympics, this was whatever it was 20 years ago, he had microcurrent on that 24 hours a day. Within 2 days, his hamstring was healed, back on the deal. Now today, I don't know, you know, what they would do for him, but it worked, you know, that worked at the time. At the time, those were like $10,000 machines, but so what? He bought one himself. Because he wanted it, he wanted to win those gold medals, which he did. Thank you very much for being here, Barry.
Hey, it was fun.
Yeah, we've been talking about lasers. You've been listening to Your Health. Next week, gardeners and people from the Lower Columbia Preservation Society will be here. We'll be talking about the great upcoming garden tour and all the great things you'll be able to see in people's gardens coming up. Have a great week. We'll see you in a week.